into the hills. The day was nearly spent, and they saw Blind Gill at last with the sun setting behind them. Cyclops Valley would have been a better name for it, for it looked out of one eye only towards the west. But for this break, it was like a saucer or a deep dish, the sides sloping up, bare rock or rough heather, to the overlooking sky. Against that enclosing barrenness, the valley's richness was the more marked. Green wheat swayed inwards with the summer breeze, and beyond the wheat, as the ground rose, they saw the lusher green of pasture. The entrance to the valley could scarcely have been narrower. To the left of the road, 10 yards away, a rock face rose sharply and overhung. To the right, the river Leap foamed against the road's very edge. Its further bank, 15 yards beyond, hugged the other jaw of the valley. Hilda Custance turned round to look at her sons. "Well?"
"Gosh," John said, "this river, I mean, how does it get into the valley in the first place?"
"It's the Leap, 35 miles long and 25 of those miles underground, if the stories are to be believed. Anyway, it comes from underground in the valley. There are a lot of rivers like that in these parts."
"It looks deep."
"Oh, it is, and very fast. No bathing, I'm afraid. It's wired further up to keep cattle out. They don't stand a chance if they fall in." John remarked sagely,
"I should think it might flood in winter."
His mother nodded.
"It always used to. Does it still, Jess?"
"Cut off for a month last winter," Jess said. "It's not so bad, now we have the wireless."
"I think it's terrific," John said. "But are you really cut off? You could climb the hills."
Jess grinned.
"There are some who have, but it's a rocky road up and rockier still down the other side. Best to sit tight when the Leap runs full."
Hilda Custance looked at her elder son. He was staring ahead at the valley, thickly shadowed by sunset. The buildings of the hill and farm were in view now, but not the Beverley farm high up.
"Well," she said, "what do you think of it, David?"
Reluctantly, he turned his gaze inwards to meet her own. He said,
"I think I'd like to live here. Always."
That summer the boys ran wild in the valley. It was some 3 miles long and perhaps half a mile wide at its greatest extent. It held only the two farms and the river, which issued from the southern face about 2 miles in. The ground was rich and well cropped. But there was plenty of room for boys of 12 and 11 to play, and there were the surrounding hills to climb. They made the ascent at 2 or 3 points, and stood, panting, looking out over rough hills and moorlands. The valley was tiny behind them. John delighted in the feeling of height, of isolation, and to some extent of power. For the farmhouses looked from this vantage like toy buildings that they might reach down and pluck from the ground. And in its greenness the valley seemed an oasis among desert mountains. David took less pleasure in this, and after their third climb he refused to go again. It was enough for him to be in the valley. The surrounding slopes were like cupped and guarding hands, which was both fruitless and ungrateful to scale. This divergence of their interests caused them to spend much of their time apart. While John roamed the valley's sides, David kept to the farmland, to his grandfather's increasing satisfaction. At the end of the second week, boy and old man, they went together to the river field on a warm and cloudy afternoon. The boy watched intently while his grandfather plucked ears of wheat here and there and examined them. His near vision was poor, and he was forced to hold the wheat at arm's length.
"It's going to be a fair crop," he said, "as well as my eyes can tell me."
To their right, there was a continuous dull roar as the Leap forced its way out of the containing rock into the valley. David said,
"Shall we still be here for the harvest?"
"Depends. It may be. Would you like to be?"
David said enthusiastically, "Oh, yes, Grandfather." There was a silence in which the only intrusion was the noise of the Leap. His grandfather looked over the valley, which the Beverleys had farmed for a century and a half, and then turned from the land to the boy at his side.
"I don't see as we shall have long to get to know one another, David boy.